And just finally, the changes in the landscape, you know, the buildings and that. Have you seen much change here in the last
Well,
50 years?
we were the only house on this road for up till about 20 years ago. And now there, I think there's at least 10 houses up there at the far end. And that's the same story right up all the roads around. You know, there's
So, knowing your neighbour, then I'm sure you know all the local neighbours, do
oil,
you?
of course,
Yeah,
yeah. There was a little bit of, what would you call it, agro when we came first, like we were runners in. And you know what that means in the country area.
cleanish
But,
stock.
yeah, but we.
But wait, is that
We
because of the land? No, of course, the Land Commission didn't place you in here.
well, they did, you see. We applied for this and got it, so a lot of them, I understood, there were others applied for it as well, don't you know, naturally enough. But we got over that. In a very short time, we were helping them with their harvest and they were helping us, you know. So it was a thing that there was nothing unexpected about it, but it wasn't dragged on, if you know what I mean.
I know, but do you remember you said that a lot of the Massey workers that they took
Yeah, well, they got pieces,
sections of the estate,
yeah.
but they would have been local people to most of them.
Yeah, well, I don't see a lot of them. They wouldn't have all applied, but some of them got it. I don't know what criteria they used for, but certainly farming wasn't so high on the agenda for any of them. You know, it was most of them hadn't a clue. Let's put it away. And there's only a couple of us now, our next door neighbour here, and ourselves are probably the only ones that still have. And still working that land that we got, like the rest of them have, you know, changed ownership and that kind of thing, you know.
Right, that's
Over the
interesting,
six over the 60 years, like, you
And
know,
who's your neighbor?
Mr. Gallagher over here, they're
And where were
still,
they from
well,
originally?
they were local people, you know. They were local people. But they turned out to be great neighbours, and we always helped one another harvesting and that kind of thing, you know. And,
And would you were saying that you supply the local creamery with the milk, and the Gallaghers did as well, did
Oh
they,
yeah,
or
well,
they didn't?
that was the trend all around. Everybody kept a few cows, and we all headed to Hughes's in with our whatever it was, 10 gallon cans, or you know that time it was in 10 gallon cans, and
That's
you
right.
brought it down in your van or paid somebody to collect it or whatever.
The mill churn.
Yeah.
And were Ron's, would you have carried other people's milk in
No,
today?
we another person carried ours. You know, we used to leave it at the end of the road and it was collected. No, that was it was a time-consuming job if you'd work to do, like, you know, going off in the
Was there
morning.
kind of a platform there where the milk was put on, or was
Well,
it?
there wasn't actually. I left at a gate for at the gate of the man who was bringing his own milk down, and there was no point putting on a platform. He had a load, one of those 500-weight vans, and he used to throw into it, you know.
Right, and did any milk ever disappear? You could imagine
Not
that would.
really, no. No, not really. The one occasion where I go out on, where you go out the road at the graveyard, I was going down there with, and a lorry came down and I jammed my brakes on and all the cans turned. The whole damn lot spilled out in
Oh, it did
the
not, did it?
back. Well, I mean, that only happened once.
So it was a wash with milk, was
Wash,
it?
absolutely, yeah.
There was local,
But another thing about the area that has changed, now, I was saying they're all very friendly people at the time, and if you're walking down the road to town or went down to get a bus and missed it, someone would come along and give you a lift. That was, you could understand, you know, there was never any fear of getting into somebody's car like there is today, you know. And you rarely walk the whole way to town if you miss the bus itself. And getting on the bus, then you sat beside different people every day, so you got to know the whole neighbourhood. We knew them in a very short time, like, you know. But nowadays, there are people living up around here now for the last 20 years, and through no fault of their own, they've had to put safety gates on. And if you want to see them, you press a button on the gate, and they may not appear. You might get a voice and you might not. With the result that there are people up both roads that I have never laid eyes on. You'd meet the car, and if they change the car, you're stuck again. Well, it's because of, a lot of it is because of two people working and no one in the house all day. And if they haven't security on, they'd have a whole lot of callers during the day while they'd be away.
And would the last half a century, because that's you're here now, half 60, a century, 60, yeah. Was there, were you very much out in the country in those days? Oh, and yeah. Dublin was way in there. Was that
well, more or less, yeah. Well, I mean, Rathfarnham village would have been, and actually Terran Ewer would have been nearly the start of town at that stage. You know, we crossed the river, the Dodder, and Terran Ewer would have been, there was a, the real building didn't start in around Rathfarnham until after the war. Rathfarnham was a sleepy old country village. They might open in the morning and they might not.
What about Tala? Would that be the same?
Well, it was the same, yeah. Yeah. Well, we never had that much to do with Tala because you'd have to go off that way to Tala, you know. We were, Rathfarnham would do us, and then if you went to town, you were on the straight road in. Like we'd. But Dundrum now, we used to go to Dundrum. That was, you know, if you saw the place now with supermarkets and other kind of markets and flyovers and the devil knows what. That time, we used to, the blacksmith used to do our shoe our horses. And just go over there and, you know, it was a half day's work, but if you went around to some of the shops at sort of half nine in the morning, they mightn't even be open. You know, they weren't pushing for trade or anything like that. Very easy going. But it also changed what we could do here. Evenings years ago when, you know, you finished the day's work and we had a good gun dog and to take out the gun, you could go up around any of the fields around. It wouldn't be our field, but everybody's field. And you'd always get a rabbit or maybe a couple of pheasants or you might a few pigeons, you know. It was always something to bring home for the pot, if you know what I mean.
Right. Was it a common age? Owned by anybody?
No, there was, everybody owns the Brit, but there was no one. It was an understood thing. You could cross the blooming land to shoot if you want to. I mean, you wouldn't be breaking fences. You'd be one of, we were all one of the same group kind of thing. So none of us wanted the gates left open or the fences broke, if you know what I mean.
What about letting your sheep or cattle in there?
That part of it. I mean, if your dog was under control and,
yeah,
you know, oh, no, I mean, the gallers next door used to do a bit of shooting and, you know, we'd ramble off and no one questioned you where you were going to shoot. Like,
so hunting parties, and would they come out?
Wouldn't be parties as such. Go off individually in the evening. I never believed in hunting parties. They're too bloody dangerous.
Yeah.
Go off on your own and enjoy your walk and enjoy your dog's attempt to raise, you know, raise them. A rabbit or a pheasant or whatever to be, you know.
Yeah.
Hunting parties never appealed to me. That's where the accidents happen, yeah. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, tis, I suppose, quite dangerous when you eat.
Oh, it is.
And so you'd have a pheasant or a duck or. What would you actually shoot in
well,
the mountains?
Well, rabbits,
here?
Of course, were the most plentiful at the time, you know. And we used to go at night time shooting pigeons in the trees, which was another sport. You know, in pigeons roosting,
yeah,
you would pick them against the moonlight. You would pick them out on the boughs, every one of them. You know, you'd know a pigeon up in a tree, and yeah, they usually roosted in groups anyway.
Yeah.
I remember I bought a water spaniel dog from a fella down in Offaly, and had been trained, but he had another one, and he advertised this one when I bought it. And I was really enjoying my night shooting with him, because the pigeon would drop, that the dog would find him. I wouldn't have hoped Helen would find me, even if I had a flash lamp, you know, which I would have anyway. But the dog was terrific at retrieving whatever I hit, and I was really enjoying it. And then the blooming dog got a distemper.
And that was the end of it.
That was the end of my shooting.
Patrick Lambert, listen, thank you for telling me your story. It was fascinating indeed. Thank you.
Right to be. Well, I'll tell you, though, there was a few things there, but I suppose...
What were the other things?
No, I was in the 1798 commemoration committee there in you know, the commemoration was there in 98, and then followed on by a commemoration of Robert Emmet, 2003. You know, he was executed in
1803.
So we put up a statue. We had an active a group of some local people and some people from the main commemoration people in town, and we put up a statue to Anne Devlin in Rathfarnham, and she had been neglected for so long, and when the opportunity arose, we got great help from the people in Rathfarnham and a few fairly substantial contributions from different other people, like there was a builder or two, and the Dublin Wastermen's Association gave a fairly large sum. And we had it up in record time, and it's there now, and everyone thinks it's a wonderful lab. And if it hadn't been done then, it was probably another 200 years before it'd be done.
And it was yourself and well, a few
I was,
more.
I was a chairman of the local committee, and we had another few people. There was a Frank Connolly who was involved in the 98 commemoration and the Robert Emmet thing.
Hmm.
Frank was the driving force in getting these things organised. He knew a good deal about the ins and outs of what you required.
Yeah.
And we did very successfully and in record time.
Well, congratulations on that. Yeah.
We were delighted to have it done.
Yeah.
And she was a much neglected lady, you know.
Yes,
she
is.
Much neglected.
Yeah. Quite dangerous. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, we're talking here for an hour and a half here. And it's been very interesting indeed.